So what were some examples of some 60s social change? You know, a lot of hippies wanted to tune in, turn on, and drop out. And of course, Timothy Leary, a chemist who basically said that LSD, an hallucinogenic drug, was safe, encouraged people to tune in, turn on, and drop out. You know, the hippies were the extension of the 1950s beatniks. They were against conformity. A lot of them got into Eastern religions and communal living, and then you had folks like members of the Manson family who followed, Charles Manson. And unfortunately, several members of the Manson family will be famous for the Tate-LaBianca murders in 1969. You know, the hippies kind of brought on this idea of the counterculture. You know, people who wanted to share different experiences, wanted to be nonconformists. There'll be things to come out like the Whole Earth Catalog about better gardening and better seeds and better living. There'll be people who will get into embracing Eastern religions. You know, as some soldiers came back from Vietnam, many will leave as Presbyterians or Catholics or Methodists, but they'll come back and embrace Buddhism. You know, the country's main religion that they had just been in fighting a war. You know, a good example of the failure of the counterculture is that Summer of Love in 1967 that I was talking about in the previous lecture. You know, changing culture. You had the British invasion by, 1964. Of course, the Beatles will break up later in the decade and early into the next. You had Woodstock, the music festival in Rye, New York in 1969, which brings about the modern rock festivals that we have today. You'll have, different kinds of rock music, Grateful Dead, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, The Beatles, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Grateful Dead, Creedence Clearwater Revival. You know, great, great music. But at least one person I know says that's about the only thing the 60s left people with that was good was the music. Things like LSD led to was increased drug use, drug abuse. And people who were celebrating at Woodstock had no idea that during the time that they're celebrating, over 100 men were killed in Vietnam. In the 60s, you had the women's movement. By 1963, Betty Friedan publishes The Feminine Mystique, and it basically tells women they don't have to be simply considered homemakers. And let's not forget that in 1960, you had the development of the birth control pill. The development of the birth control pill helped families decide when they wanted to have children. That was a really good thing about the pill. The pill ends up dividing country music. You'll have Loretta Lynn singing about the pill, how liberating it is, versus a Tammy Wynette, singing Stand By Your Man. Another thing that the pill allowed women to do was to have more promiscuous sexual behavior. And so the women's liberation movement was a part of this. Later in the 1960s, there'll be women who will protest the Miss America pageant in Atlantic City. And they'll burn their undergarments and call them instruments of oppression. And they will be protesting the Miss America pageant because men are determining, at the Miss America pageant what makes a beautiful woman. So that was something that many women were against, men defining for women what's beautiful. So remember the National Organization for Women, founded by Betty Friedan. Remember the Feminine Mystique as an important book. Gloria Steinem began Miss Magazine as a instrument for women's liberation. By the 1970s, you have a proposed Equal Rights Amendment. And of course, that amendment will pass at the congressional level in the 1970s, but it'll fail at the state level. It'll fail to gain the number of states it needs to pass in the 1980s. In 1973, you'll have a very important case for women, and that is Roe v. Wade, which makes it available to and legal to have an abortion at a certain time of a female's pregnancy. You know, one of the things to consider is that the feminist movement challenged a lot of men. It today has led to more women in Congress, more women in the Senate, and women will begin to challenge something called the glass ceiling. This is this idea that certain places, certain jobs, certain careers are not just meant for men, that women can have those jobs too, and careers too, all right? And that's a profoundly good and decent thing. In the 1960s and 70s, you have Title IX, 1973, I believe. Title IX provides for equal education for women. And another way to think about it this way is that if your school, high school or college, accepts federal money, it must have equality, not only in education, but also in sports. And so if your school has 9 male sports teams under Title IX, it needs to have 9 female sports teams. So it's a good example of equity in education, but not just limited to sports. In the 1960s and 70s, Latino rights became more important. Gay rights became more important. There was the incident at the Stonewall Inn in New York with the first breakout of a discussion on gay rights. Cesar Chavez will practice the tenets of nonviolence to help to found, along with his wife, the United Farm Workers Union. And then you have Native Americans through the 1960s into the 70s. And, you know, one of the things that is occurring is that Native Americans are getting back some of their tribal lands. More power is being handed back to the tribes. And this is a really, really good thing. By 1972, unfortunately, though, you have an event called Wounded Knee 2. And Wounded Knee 2 will be a series of shootouts between the FBI and Indians around the trading post at Wounded Knee, where the massacre occurred in December of 1890. This time, thankfully, no massacre will occur, but FBI men will be injured, several Native Americans will be killed, and this becomes a new protest movement for more rights on the reservation, although Indians will begin to call the reservation the res more frequently. So, you know, people learn from the civil rights movement of the 1960s to begin their own movements, to protest certain things, whether it was women, the anti-war movement, Latino Americans, Native Americans, gay Americans. You know, so the 1960s is this great era of protest and sit-ins and teach-ins and protests. And on the flip side, you could be a member of the counterculture and be tuning in, but tuning out, you know, dropping out. And, you know, people found the hard way that the Beatles were wrong, that love is not all you need. You need structure, you need policies, and you need things in place to help people. By the end of the 60s, and this helped Nixon get elected, people are tired of a lot of the marches. People are tired of all the monies being paid to build a great society. And so a lot of people who voted for Nixon were conservatives who, you know, wanted the protest and the violence to end. In fact, the symbol for the Nixon administration will be the hard hat. And you know, the hard hat was symbolic of law and order. And unfortunately, in our next lecture, we'll see that Nixon violates law and order and gets embroiled in the Watergate scandal. Hey, thanks. Have a great evening.